Stiff Neck People is the name of this. I'll put it up on the screen. All right. But I'll go over a review first, because we, even though we read the two passages, there's a lot of information, especially in the second one. And the very first, as you see up top, where it was saying God warns concerning stubbornness. And we, what this is also going to show us is what God considers stubborn, because unfortunately, in today's world, some of us wear stubbornness as a badge of honor. Some of us wear it as a family trait, or and you know, I know I'm stubborn, and we say that. And that's not a good thing, is what God is saying. And not just stubborn in the world. What you do in the world is in the world, but it's towards God. And if I'm a stubborn person and I'm stubborn towards God, if you have a lot of stuff out there that you're supposed to do and you say, I know, but you're not doing it, that's stubbornness. And that's dangerous to you and the people that depend on you. So as it shows us, God warns us concerning stubbornness. In Isaiah 30, verse 1, it says, woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine. So he's showing that's a part of stubbornness. Forming an alliance, that's a form of stubbornness. And not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. So he's saying, we carry out plans that don't belong to God. We get into partnerships that are not based on God. He's saying, that's stubbornness. I'm going to do it anyway. I didn't even check with you, God. I think it's the right thing to do. All of these are forms of stubbornness. So that comes down to even what Sister Carolyn was asking about Romans 1, 18 through 32 is so important, because it really breaks down man, not just this group of men. It's breaking down man for us to look at us and say, are we in any way participating in this? It basically said, it's talking about man who suppressed the truth by their wickedness, right? Now, sometimes we look at that and go, well, that's not us. It could be, because if my life exists or I apply anything that is not of God, then that's wickedness. That means I hinder the truth. Like I said, in many cases, some of us right now, we're godly in some sense, but we have certain aspects of our life, may it be our entertainment, may it be our politics, may it be our work, that's outside of God. And we keep endorsing that. That's wickedness. And then somebody's looking at this Christian and they call us a bunch of hypocrites. That suppresses the truth, right? That's why he made it clear they knew God, but we didn't glorify him as God, nor gave thanks to him. Okay? There are a lot of people glorifying God. All religions and stuff like that think they're glorifying God, but they're not glorifying God as God. And in our lifestyle, in our complaining and are allowing ourselves to become in depression and are allowing ourselves to keep looking at what others have and to live in envy, that's not showing thanks to him. And this is why it says our thinking became futile. In other words, now when we think we're really thinking things through and we're putting things together, our thinking actually is becoming futile, as the word said, and darkened. And that's why it says we claim to be wise while in reality we're a bunch of fools. And the only way we see that is once again going directly through him. And it's showing us, if you watch our lives in our worship and how we do things, we're doing things and we're exchanging what God says, which is very clear in his Bible, with stuff that we think, right? There's many things that God will say, like, you know, I always bring up the hair thing, because to me, I'm still tripping out because of it. It's one of those ones I'm like, that has nothing to do with it. That's what Keith thinks, but it's in his word. So when he put it in his word, this a version of glorifying him, we exchanged it for, well, I'm not going to do it that way, but I'm going to do this song over here, or I'm going to say this poem, and all that stuff is nice, but it's not in line with what he says. That's why he says we exchange the glory of immortal God for images made to look like immortal man, birds, animals, reptiles, and they did it with statues. We're doing it where we follow history more so. We put people on that. We do put animals on that. And then it says, therefore, it says God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the creator. What he's saying is, and this might even fit to answer what Pharaoh went through, is because we ignored him, part of his wrath is now allowing us just to go into what's going to destroy us, if that makes sense. Okay? It's allowing us, because his grace puts that barrier which convicts us, not condemns us. See, a Christian gets convicted. You know when something's wrong, but when you still keep doing it, that's that stubbornness. He's saying there's going to come a time where the conviction is going to go. because you chose to ignore the conviction of it. That's why he's saying, therefore, he gave them over. And he says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. And in that lust, he was talking about homosexual relationship. That's why it's so more accepted today. It's becoming more and more accepted. To where, like I said, kids are going through this trans and this these things, and we're looking at them, we're feeling bad for them, and we want to accept them and all this, even though the Bible is very clear. And remember, that word shameful lust comes from the Greek word pathos, which means a never accepted lust or a never accepted desire. It's a desire. Doesn't mean for us to be mean to them, but it's never meant for us to accept it. And then he went on to say, we lived our lives and we don't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Think of our lives today. We are so busy that God falls in somewhere else. Now, what does it mean? Not just studying God's word. Don't be one of those that just, you know, I study my word. He says retaining. Think about that. Okay. Because we have a lot of people that will read and they'll even, you know, take in the word, but they don't keep it. And his word shows us how we do that is by getting it, understanding and applying it, repeat. And that process has to be done. As you do that, and the applying it part is what's not happening in many cases. And then it says, because we did not think it worthwhile to retain it, to get that word and make it a part of our walk, he gave us over to what's called a depraved mind, to do what ought not to be done. More and more, each and every day, you step back, we are more and more accepting sin. And it's disturbing. You're watching churches partnering with worldly things that are definitely wrong, and just doing it. People will go, even the world is looking at them going, so why are y'all doing this? Aren't y'all supposed to be Christians? And we just kind of turn away. And this is all churches. This is something happening more and more with Christians because they're being given over. Why? We didn't think it worthwhile. We didn't see God as that. And so not only, and it ends with not only continue to do the bad things, we start approving those who practice them. So this is a huge definition of stubbornness that we see going on here. And I think sometimes we live in a fairy tale land thinking God's going to go, no big deal. Those are my people. It's okay. They mean well. And we cannot get caught up in it. So we spent the time on that. So where we're at today is on Exodus 8. So now we're going to see some examples using the Old Testament of stubbornness. And Pharaoh does fit into this. And maybe it even helps to answer what we were asking even more so about Pharaoh. So like Pharaoh, we tend to become stubborn when things feel normal. Look what it says, Exodus 8, 12 through 15. It says, after Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. If you remember, because Pharaoh went to him and said, could you please get rid of these and I'll let your people go. The frogs died in the house, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps and land and reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, do y'all catch this? He hardened his heart. Now, this is one of those times where he did it on his own. Remember, he kept doing it on his own and would not listen to Moses and Aaron just as the Lord had said. Now, what this is showing is the same thing with us. Usually when a disaster is going on in our life, or we're going through a sickness, when times are hard, man, we're with the Lord. And some people even go as far as, Lord, if you do this for me, then I will. Right. And man, we're dedicated to God's word, and we're always there. And man, we're following him and we're passionate about it. And then when things normalize, I got something else to do. I'm going to be busy. I'm not paying as much attention. Why? Because it's back to normal. And that's a dangerous pattern of humans today. And that's a stubborn pattern. Does God have to disrupt you to keep you where you're at? There's parts of my life and my health I hate, but thank God for them. As crazy as that sounds, you understand that. But if I didn't have them, I'm wondering if it would make me complacent. I'm wondering if it wouldn't let me really go after his word like I do. You understand that? And you know, I think I would like to say, oh no, I would, but I've seen it happen way too many times. Wait, when people get comfortable, their relationship with God becomes less and less. It almost becomes non-existent. And just like Pharaoh here, he couldn't stand the frogs, and that plague was horrible. But once things cleared up, even though the remnants of them and the smell, the pain went away. And it was able to go, no, I'm not letting y'all go. And we can't keep getting caught up in that. So now, when God's people become stubborn, it would ignite God's wrath, as we're seeing now. And he's showing his example in Exodus 32, 7 through 10, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, go down because your people whom you brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. Okay. Now, if you notice, you know how parents do that. Your child when the child is bad, my child when the child is good. But, you know, it seems like he's doing it. The Lord said, go down because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. But anyway, they have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. Now, to be serious on this, what he's really stressing on this part is they were still being a people and not being God's people. One thing Israel was supposed to learn out of this, and the same thing with us, and this is what happens to Christians, and I'll show you the parallel here, is we'll go to church, and the purpose of the church is to get you to follow God. What tends to happen is a lot of us go to church and we become that church member. And then that church member tells you to do anything and you're going back and forth because of what that church said. Why don't you check? Because my church. How come you don't change? Because my church. And next thing you know, we become like this. So your people, because they're not God's people, you understand that. That's the seriousness behind it and understanding it. And a lot of us will follow. That's why you always hear me say, check me, because I don't ever want to be the reason you're following. Well, I trust Pastor Keith and I know he's right. No, do not trust me. Do not trust FSG. You trust God. And then FSG, if you ever put trust in FSG, it's only because of God. It's only because you see us presenting God, but it also prepares you that if we ever go right or to the left, you go, oh, Pastor, there's a problem, and don't make me have to go. You understand that. You already have that understanding in your mind. It says, they have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of calves. I mean, he said they were real quick to do that. And if you remember in the story, they start worshiping the calf, and they gave the calf that they built credit for getting them out of Egypt. It says they have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. He says, I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are, watch this, stiff-necked people. Now, just like I use that analogy, and I said that today, as we do it in our church, our routines, and our family, a lot of times we still allow those things to become our God. There are people whose kids are keeping them from truly following God, whose relationships are keeping them from truly following God, their mindsets and their feelings, their traditions, whatever that thing is, that's called stiff neck. If we were truly reverent people, as you're going to see later, the minute you hear God say something, you're going to check and go, what stopped me from doing that? Because I should be doing that right now. We do the, yeah, I know I really should be doing that, but we get a lot of that, right? Yeah, I know. 2 years from now, you hear him saying the same thing. Yeah, I know. And like I said, we used to say, I'm working on it. What does that mean? You understand that? When there's it to do, if he says push the button, and I come back and that button's still not pushed, and you're saying I'm working on it, explain what that means. And there's a danger sometimes in what that really means. What people are trying to say is, God, once you make it comfortable with my flesh, then I'll react spiritually. And they don't realize, nope, that'll never happen because the two are opposite, right? There is no agreement in that. And he said, they are stiff-necked people. So are we acting in a stiff-necked people? He says, now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. And that's where that love story comes out. I couldn't live without you. And remember, he, within his grace, this is why Moses was able to minister to him within his grace. It wasn't changing his mind, because the verse even says God doesn't change his mind. So what he did was he put a request in, and in God's grace, he was able to save the people. You understand that? So it's not that he changed his mind, but this is what they were doomed for. And we fall into that same pattern from allowing ourselves to be stubborn in things that are not of God. Please be careful of that. This is very common today. And seeing Christian after Christian, you'll bring up a simple statement of, so why are you still doing that? Or why are you still following that group? Or why are you still doing this thing? And they'll dance around it. But remember, you can dance around it with people, but it says God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. So then God comes down. What was your purpose? And you could dance all you want, and it'll get really hot when you're dancing. And you don't want that type of dance. Now, he goes on to say, this stubborn group of people almost brought destruction on themselves. And this is what we're, you know, continuing on to see in here. It says, then the Lord, in Exodus 33:1-6, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham. He's basically saying, I'm still going to do my promise. You understand? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Go up to the land of flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. In fact, some of the biggest reasons, the biggest fears we should have is not Satan and the world and stuff like that, is being on the wrong side of God because of how we are. Do y'all get this? Right? It says, when the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. So in their mourning, they were showing, wow, we're really that bad. And you hope that mourning would have helped them even more, but they got worse. But he says, if I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments and I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Oreb. So in the same way, is our lives that way? You know, have you ever been, and I was talking to a parent just the other day, and I remember her comments, your child would always ask, hey, mom, do you like me? And she'd go, I love you, but at the moment, I don't like you because it could be bad. And you ever have that where you're around your parent and you just feel the tension? You know, man, if I do the third wrong thing, well, my mom or my dad's going to knock me upside my head or whatever. But see, that's just humans doing it. We put ourselves, and we don't have that fear or reverence for God. But do you see what he's saying about these people? And it brought such a sadness over them, which we hope would have lasted, but of course it didn't. And that's what we have to understand. But the biggest thing that does it, he says, you are a stiff-necked people, and it makes me want to destroy you. So even a group that didn't have access to the Holy Spirit like we have, how then, with us having the Holy Spirit, what do you think he's thinking about us?
Excuse me.
Yes.
I have a question. What is an ornament?
So the ornaments
That's
were...
That's what I was asking.
Both of you went to order. Okay. So remember, they had a lot of jewelry and stuff like that, and they had a lot of stuff that represented things. So like they wore earrings and they wore things around their neck, and that stuff used to represent. And they did a lot more representation than we do today, because we have a lot of stuff that same reputation was pointing towards the spirituality that we have. So the ornaments and stuff like that, when they would wear it in honor of God, he was like, no, take that off. You understand that? So, and they came in different forms, and you don't necessarily see the exact significance of each ornament in the Bible. I've read some books on each of them, and I don't want to use that because I don't know how accurate they are. But the ornaments, we know they existed because of like verses like this, but they would wear things in honoring of God. So you would show that. And he's basically saying, take that off because you're not honoring me. And he's making that clear. He's saying that ornament is worthless. It's almost like he's saying, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's why some people can say, oh, praise God, and we can cry, and we can show all the emotion. And God's like, you're wasting your time. You know what I mean? So, but the ornaments were actual, think of it as jewelry or things that they wear around their neck. Amen?
Thanks.
Absolutely. Now, God warned the Israelites time after time to let go of their stubbornness. So this warning, once again, Old Testament being a great example to us, is that same warning to us, where he says in 2 Kings 17, 13 through 15, this is the Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers. It says, turn from your evil ways, observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I have commanded your fathers to obey, that I have delivered to you through my servants, the prophets. He's basically saying, I'm being clear with you guys to do what I told you and to do it the way I told you to do it. Can I make that any clearer? Right? He was like, but they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their fathers. See, now, once again, we wear it as a badge of honor. Yeah, my dad was stubborn. Now I'm stubborn like my father. No, that's bad. It's not good. This is what got Israel in the situation in the ending, you know, where they were taken captive And I mean, the stuff that happened to them was horrendous due to them being stubborn. It says, stiff-necked as their fathers who did not trust in the Lord their God. Now, please understand this. Where it says who did not trust in the Lord their God, trust isn't something you say. It's something you display. All right? So if I truly trust God, I'll just do what he says. If I don't trust God, you'll see me either not doing what he said, that's a clear way, or doing what he said with a safety net. Does that make sense? If God just told me to walk on the tight wire, I walk on it, you know, on the thing going across two buildings. Doesn't matter if I fall, if I don't fall, whatever. He told me what to do, and I'm doing it, and I trust him. So if I fail, I still trust him. If I stay up there, I still trust him. The outcome has nothing to do with it. I know what he said. If I didn't trust him, I'm going, no, I'm not walking across that, right? Or I would go, I'll do it as long as you put a safety net. I'm telling God I don't trust him. So look at your actions. You're reading. First of all, if you're not reading the word, you don't trust God. If you're reading the word and not applying it, you don't trust God. God is not impressed with us saying, God, I trust you. It's going to be displayed. So that's what it's saying, who did not trust in the Lord their God. It says they rejected his decrees and the covenant he made with their fathers and the warning he gave to them. So they had all this instruction with warning attached to them. If you ever want to see those in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, he gave the blessings, which was in 27, and the curses. He warned them, if you don't do this, if you do this, this is what you'll get. If you don't do this, this is what you get. So they had everything they needed to know what would happen, and they still lived wrong. It goes on and says, they followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do, and they did the things that the Lord had forbidden them to do. Think about it. This basically mimics exactly what we're going through today. A lot of the ways we worship God, or a lot of things we're not doing, we're following what the world is doing. I said 2020 should have been, to a lot of us, a spiritual awakening. Some of the things that we were doing or following in, hopefully it opened up our eyes of us going, wait a minute, that's not what God intended me to do, because his word says this. Why am I following this? And it should have been instant. True reverence would go, before I do that, I got to make sure. As Sister Navy was asking, just even in giving, I just want to make sure. Nothing wrong with asking that question, because you want to make sure. That's an excellent question to ask. However, if you just did it your way and did, if she wouldn't, well, I think, and I have no problem with, or if I would even gave an answer of, I have no problem with it, go ahead and give to the people. Both dangerous, because it's us now trying to do it our way instead of saying, well, you know, the word does say this, and we have to keep this in mind and following what the word is saying. We're trying to make sure we're truly and reverently following God. And we'll close on this one. Second Chronicles 30, verse 8, it says, do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were. Submit to the Lord. Come to the sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God so that his fierce anger will not turn away from you. Hopefully you're noticing a pattern. The thing that us, when we're stubborn, the biggest danger to us is God. It's crazy, isn't it? You understand that? We like to think, well, because I'm stubborn, Satan's going to say, ain't had nothing to do with this. And God could do more damage to us than Satan. Because remember, it says only God can destroy the body. I mean, destroy the body and the soul. Okay, man can only destroy the body, but nowhere does it show Satan has that power to do it. He can kill us, maybe, and I mean have us killed when allowed, but the one who has the final thing on our soul is God. So as we're grasping this and as we're going through this, like I said, we'll close on this one. The warning of stubbornness, I'm hoping it's putting something in our minds, because that's a common trait in today's Christians. I don't know if we think it's cute. I don't know what we're doing. And for those of you saying you're working on it, stop working on it and do it. Stop being stubborn. God willing, we'll continue on this and we'll get the chance to really delve more into understanding stubbornness next week. And then we'll get the chance to see the remedy for stubbornness. You're hearing the remedy as we go through it. I think a lot of you may already know it, but this is an opportunity for us to really delve into it and see what the Bible says about it. Are there any questions? Amen. All right. So praise God. So we will pray out.